On tonight's show, we've got Start, Bench, and Cut. It's back, and you know it's going to be a tough one.
I'm so excited because I picked this one out myself. We've also got the return of the picks. It's Best Bets. It's a new segment, but it's same old picks. We've also got...
Transfer portal. Let me tell you, it's messed up in every possible way of the of anything.
He's got so many takes. You'll have to stick around and listen to it.
Roll it. On the show tonight, we've got...
Every night was a battle.
You can lock this in, take it to the bank.
No class at all. It's unbelievable.
They should see a relatively quick turnaround.
Show me the money.
Big water slide, snow cone truck and everything.
One team stands alone.
Well, you know what I think about Troy.
I'm losing my mind over here.
We've got the moment you've all been waiting for.
Of course.
Welcome into the show. You know who it is.
I'm Thomas Gleaton.
I'm Colin Cahill, and we are the Bench Boys.
Boys.
Yeah, I changed it up on you there. You
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, you did. I
changed
it up on you. I almost didn't catch it there.
Yeah, a little pause.
Oh, yeah. Do not adjust the settings on your iPhone, Galaxy phone, or whatever you're listening to, or whatever app you're using to listen to us, because we're on all of them. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We're on Google Play.
Hit the subscribe button. If you haven't already, just hit it.
You'll get them every week whenever they come out. You don't even have to go look for us anymore. And then if you want any more updates, if you can't get enough, we're on Twitter, at the OG Bench Boys. I'm at Thomas Gleaton for bad takes, at Colin Cahill 13 for the good takes, and then at the OG Bench Boys for the ugly takes, basically.
Yeah.
Dude,
we've got a lot to talk about this
week.
We
really do.
Let's get into it.
Out of the gate.
Well... out of the gate, we got to talk about the most important thing that has probably gone through not just Sun Belt schools, not just Power Five schools, but the entire country, even outside of sports. It's who's got the best chicken sandwich, Thomas.
I didn't want to do this. I told myself
today, we have time?
We have time, but I didn't want to do this.
So... I have yet to taste. Oh, he is taking, ladies and gentlemen, he is taking the hat off. We are doing everything here. No, we're going to keep it real short. I have yet to try the Popeye's chicken sandwich. Have you tried it?
Yes, I have.
You have tried it. Okay,
both
so
of them.
You have tried both. I've only tried, obviously, Chick-fil-A, which was the main battle.
Right.
You know, the main competitor. But, you know, today I put it on social media. I finally made my decision. And to me... it might not be a sandwich, but it's a biscuit. And the honey butter chicken biscuit, it's number one. I'm sorry. It's just number one to me. So that is my take on it. I have yet to try Popeyes. I've heard Popeyes is really good. I heard the best explanation I saw was a really good one.
Are we going to do that?
If you want to do it. I mean, I got to find it, but I kind of basically, the gist is... a Chick-fil-A sandwich is basically cooked by a white woman that has lived with a black lady?
Black family
for like 12 years, gotten a little bit of the seasoning into her chicken. It's good, but you don't use all the grease. And then the Popeye's chicken is basically an older black lady who has amazing cooking skills, apparently, and... she knows how to basically make it better. That's basically what the Popeye's chicken sandwich is.
It's incredibly accurate. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, he has taken off his hat and now his glasses. He was not expecting this.
I wasn't. He literally said before we started recording, I'm going to throw you a curveball. But guess what? I'm going to hit a home run right here because I've had both. And when I say both, I don't just mean I've had both Chick-fil-A and Popeye's.
Okay.
I've had both the spicy and the regular from both Chick-fil-A and Popeyes.
Okay.
All right. The spicy chicken sandwich from Popeyes is the best out of all four.
Wow.
It's phenomenal. If you don't like spicy, too bad.
You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen.
The Chick-fil-A sandwich is a standby. You can't go wrong with it, but in my opinion, the chicken itself is better with Popeyes. You actually taste the pickles instead of them just kind of being there.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, to me, the best way to eat a chicken Chick-fil-A sandwich is to put the Chick-fil-A sauce on it.
Yeah. Same.
With the Popeyes, you don't need that. Sauce. You don't need that.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm going to go ahead and just cut it off right there. Popeyes won.
There you go.
Everybody's going to be like, oh, well, I'm going to still go to Chick-fil-A. That's fine. That's fine. I'm still going to go to Chick-fil-A.
You go to Chick-fil-A.
I like their spicy chicken sandwiches too.
So do I.
I like them. I like the kind that's got the lettuce and stuff on it.
The deluxe.
Right.
Yeah. The deluxe is great. Yeah.
Shoot. I went to Zaxby's today and I was like, you know what? I'm going to try their competition because they have one too. It wasn't as good as Popeye's, but it was pretty good.
Now, I will say this. Back when I was in my fat days, when I didn't really care about eating fried food as much as I do now, the kickin' chicken sandwich at Zaxby's.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty solid. I will give that.
Now, we got to be real. The next battle for these is between the kickin' chicken sandwich and the buffalo chicken strip sandwich from Whataburger.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, the kickin' chicken sandwich is a year-round at Zaxby's.
Mm-hmm.
The buffalo chicken strip sandwich is only a limited time at Whataburger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So.
Now, and I did see something good that, you know, the McDonald's had the the spicy McChicken.
Hot and spicy, yeah.
That was probably the greatest deal because the spicy McChicken, that was $1.
Yeah.
Like, when you're drunk at night and you got nowhere else to go and McDonald's is your choice, I didn't really want to eat a hamburger late at night. So, you know, yeah, let me tell you, the spicy McChicken, a lot better. But $1, yeah, I'd go with the spicy McChicken. So value-wise, spicy McChicken for sure.
Absolutely. I'll agree with that.
So, but they don't even have that anymore. So it's just I don't even know.
We have now spent about 5 minutes talking about chicken sandwiches.
There you go. I told you it was going to be a curveball. People talk about it. It's amazing how this is just... Okay. Like festered.
I had to take something to Alyssa a state away today. Drove up to the first Popeyes because I was grabbing her lunch too. And they were out of the chicken sandwiches. Hopped back in my car. I was like, nope. Went down to the next one. The line was so short. Mm. And that is the only Popeyes I've seen where the line was not wrapped around the building.
Wow. Did they never have a chicken sandwich before?
No.
So this is like a new thing. Yeah. And everybody's like freaking out about it. Okay.
So it feels
like... That makes sense.
It feels like Wendy's released their spicy nugs.
Yep.
Which are the bomb, by the way. And
they
then
$1.50 though, like Burger King?
No, but
they're better quality.
We're not. Yeah, they're better quality.
Sorry, BK.
So you've got you had that released because I think Chick-fil-A is working on doing some spicy tenders or spicy nugs or something.
Mm-hmm.
But then Popeyes comes out, and that's the whole point of this is that Popeyes came out with his new sandwich to compete against Chick-fil-A, mm-hmm. and just in my opinion, that spicy chicken sandwich from Popeyes. It is the winner. Like
there you go.
It is the Oregon of chicken sandwiches. It came out of nowhere. It's an upstart. It built itself. It may never win
flashy.
The national championship. But don't ever. It's going to be there for you. That's
well,
a terrible, terrible comparison.
Hot take. It's okay. Hot take. The only request I have for Chick-fil-A. Is you have waffle fries.
Yeah.
You have chicken.
Yeah.
It's there. Why don't we have chicken and waffles yet from Chick-fil-A? I don't understand. I tweeted out at them, but they don't want to. They're like, we tried it in a couple of cities. It didn't go over well. I'm like, everybody loves chicken and waffles, though. It's the problem is they don't stay up late enough for the real people who really want chicken and waffles.
Yeah. And I mean, they don't do pancakes or waffles.
I know, but it's
so weird.
They do a breakfast. I mean, they could do it. Who knows? But okay, we've spent way too much time on this. But welcome in again to the show. We talk about chicken.
It's our show.
Yeah, it's our show. We can talk about whatever we want. Let's get to out of the gate. The real things that we were supposed to talk about. First of all, I think this might be the feel good story of the year. And it deals with a guy who went to a mid-major, not necessarily because played basketball at a mid-major.
Yeah.
Do we recognize mid-majors as being still group of five?
I mean, do.
It's like the same thing.
I do, yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. Same thing, small school. This kid, you're going to know who he is. But, I mean, he's not a kid anymore. He's a grown man.
He is.
And he's one of the most recognizable.
He's definitely a grown man.
Like, he's one of the most recognizable probably athletes on the planet at this point.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably top five, I'm
for
assuming.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
Probably top five. But great story out of that deals with Steph Curry obviously basketball player, but Steph Curry has been known for his love of golf. I mean, he's been on SportsCenter for, he shot like a 71 in a pro-am one time, which is amazing. I mean, the guy's just a pure athlete. Let me tell you something. If you're a basketball player, you are committing your entire life, especially if you're in the NBA, to playing basketball. If you can walk out on a golf course and throw up a 71 in a pro-am, you're really good at sports. I mean, absolutely. you don't just walk out and shoot a 71 like it's nothing, like especially at a pro-am.
Yeah, I can't do that on a putt-putt course.
Yeah, putt-putt. Like, I mean, Tiger Woods PGA Tour probably could.
Well, yeah, we golf.
The Wii golf. That's going to happen. You could probably do that. So, no, Steph Curry probably this I think this might be one of the feel-good stories of the year. Howard University, it's one of the most prestigious historically black colleges in the United States. They had a golf program, but then it went away. And basically, the story is, this is off of a New York Times article, that the university did previously have a Division II team that dated back at least five decades, as well as intramural golf programs. The resurrection of the program was kind of ongoing right about 2015-ish. Well, Steph Curry was...
Basically, he was donating, right?
Yeah, so he's donating a bunch of money. But I was trying to tell you the story here. He actually had a run-in with a student that went to Howard University. And while that student was filming an on-campus like screening of a documentary called Emmanuel, well, following the screening, the student, Otis Ferguson, approached Curry to discuss efforts to make the sport more mainstream on campus. And Curry recounted that the conversation at the news conference that he had on Monday, he talked about, you know, meeting this kid. And he said, you know, we connected on golf in terms of our passion for our game. And so that was what really kind of brought him together. Well, all of a sudden the kid goes, we have like no money at all to get our program really off the ground. And so that's when Curry's like, you want to know what? I got y'all covered. Next 5 years, anything. Travel costs, equipment. We're gonna do some stuff on campus for you guys. Excuse me, 6 years. So both men's and women's golf programs, he's going to basically fund everything for them. Like, travel costs ain't cheap. You're driving across country. You got these tournaments. They normally last 2-3 days.
So that's hotel.
He's putting them in hotels. Yep. He's paying for gas. He's probably paying for all their equipment. Like,
oh, sure.
Golf clubs ain't cheap. Let me tell you something. Golf clubs, they can go $1,500 easily.
What shoe company does he have a deal with?
He's with Under Armour, I believe.
Okay. I don't know if Howard's probably got a team. They're probably with Nike or Under Armour or even Russell. I don't know. But that would make the biggest impact to me is for him to come in there and get them to sign with Under Armour.
Oh, for sure.
Like the entire school.
Yeah. Well, this is the interesting thing, and this is why it's such a good story, is because according to the NCAA, only roughly 6% of collegiate golfers are Black, Latino, or Native American. So that's a very small percentage. And you know, I mean, you think Tiger Woods. I mean,
yeah.
It's had an increase in people taking up the game. But it hasn't translated to, you know, the increases in minorities playing the game of golf. And so in 2018, 2.6 million people played golf for the first time, the fourth straight yearly increase. So the game of golf is growing, which is a really good sign. Of the beginners, 26% identified as non-Caucasian, which partially attributed to the growing to the growth really among Asian participants. Over in Asia, the game of golf is like exploding. But the problem is between 2007-2018, the overall number of African American golfers dropped from 800,000 or dropped to 800,000 from 1.5 million people. So the game's kind of taken a hit there, and for Steph Curry to put it back in the limelight, put golf back at being a something that he's going to invest time into at this HBCU. It's just really cool. And I mean, he didn't go to Howard. He went to Davidson University. So for him to like go to a school that
he has no connection
to. No connections with.
He doesn't have anything to do with them.
Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of, was it Scott Van Pelt? When somebody went to him and was like, yeah, our student radio station's just like we're looking for just some donations if it could. And like, I think what the kid was doing was putting out on Twitter, just like, hey man, can you give us some money?
Just
hey man, can
you give us some?
And either Scott Van Pelt or some ESPN personality steps in and goes, I got you, man. You're covered. It's all taken care of.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I love stories like this where people just randomly come up and they're like, I got you. Mm.
Other interesting thing is, the president of Howard University at a news conference at the Langston Golf Course in Washington, D.C., that's where they made this announcement. Well, that course was named for after John Mercer Langston, who in 1890 became the first African-American elected into Congress in Virginia, and who's also the first dean of Howard's Law School. So, I mean, there's a lot of history at Howard,
absolutely.
Obviously. So,
absolutely.
It's such a cool story for a guy, you know, as big time as Steph Curry is at this point, which is crazy to give back and to help grow a sport in, you know, with the minorities of around the world. So, great story. That's one of the stories.
Speaking of golf.
Oh yeah. One last golf thing. Cause you know, we can never have too much golf.
Well, not on this show. No,
we talked last week about, two Sunbelt golfers. They both made it to the second round. Both were actually upset in the second round, which was kind of a bummer. But one of them had gained a prestigious kind of a, not award, but distinction. Stephen Fisk, George Southern's golfer. He was literally won the Sunbelt Championship last year. He was actually selected to play on the Walker Cup team. And if not a lot of you probably don't follow golf as hard as I do. But the Walker Cup is basically the Ryder Cup. But the Walker Cup is for amateurs. So a lot of your college kids, high school kids, and guys who aren't professionals, they play in this. And it's the same thing where it's United States, but it's Great Britain and Ireland. And it's technically Europe, just like how it is in the Ryder Cup. He was selected to play on the U.S. team. As far as I know, he's probably the first Sunbelt player in probably the last 7 to 8 years. Easily to be selected to play. I mean, these guys, these are the best of the best, like amateurs in the world. I mean, they are incredibly good. And this is just another, it's another just notch in his belt.
Absolutely.
I mean, just some of the things. Let me tell you, like, he was Sunbelt Conference Player of the Year. He was first team All American 2018, 2019. He had a 69.03 stroke average. That is literally three shots better than par. I mean, par most of the time is 72. He's shooting under par every time he goes out there.
Wow.
That's incredible. It ranks sixth all time in the NCAA. Not in Sunbelt history, all time in the entire NCAA. This kid, he's going to go down if he hasn't already. He was the runner-up at the NCAA Division I Individual Championship last year. He was two-time Sunbelt Conference champion. I mean, the kid, he's going to go down, in my words, no doubt, this is my take, he's going to go down as the greatest Sunbelt golfer ever to play. I mean, at any school. It's just, the kid, he's an unbelievable player. We're going to hear about him on tour next year, probably. He's probably going to go pro after the Walker Cup. A lot of kids do. He's that good.
Wouldn't surprise me if he won his way onto it.
I really wouldn't doubt it. He's like, it's hard to tell because golf is it's a hard sport to predict how a lot of these young guys are going to do. But he seems like he's been good for a long time. Like, he's not kind of a flash in the pan type good that we're talking about here. He's the number 9 ranked world amateur. I mean, he is top 10 of amateurs in the entire world. So him getting upset last week in the second round, that was a big upset, to be honest with you. He's that
you
good.
Cover over the fact that it's Georgia Southern. He is a great golfer in his own right.
Mm-hmm.
Adding to the fact that it's Sunbelt, fantastic.
Another one little last tidbit on Georgia Southern. He actually joins two other Georgia Southern alums as players on the Walker Cup.
Okay.
Jody Mudd, who was a USGA champion, and Stuart Buddy Alexander as Georgia Southern players to represent the USA in the Walker Cup. So, Georgia Southern's got three people. I bet you won't find that anywhere else, and that's why we're the Bench Boys, because we cover things Sun Belt. Just incredible, incredible accomplishment for Mr. Fisk, and we're definitely going to be watching him over the next couple of weeks.
So, you just said three Georgia Southern players on one list.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that reminds me of? Right. Thank you. That's my transition. Let's do the lightning round.
Lightning round.
So the Senior Bowl released its watch list this week. Today, in fact, I think. Mm-hmm. Point is, Georgia Southern had three players on there. So it ties in. It goes together. Okay. Cornerback Monquavion Brinson, cornerback Kendall Vildor, and kicker Tyler Bass, all named to the Senior Bowl watch list from Georgia Southern. Mm-hmm. They're 3 of 13 Sun Belt players named to this list. App State had 3, Ark State had 2, Louisiana had 1, South had 1, Troy had 1, and Texas State had 2.
Brian London.
Yeah.
I don't know who the other guy would be.
Center, Aaron Brewer.
Oh, yeah, Brewer. He's first team All Sun Belt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, what we're doing right now, I'm so glad it's back. It's start, bench, cut. We've got the 3 running backs that were named to the Sun Belt, Senior Bowl watch list from the Sun Belt.
Gotcha.
Louisiana running back Raymond Calais.
Okay.
South Alabama running back Trey Minter and Troy running back BJ Smith. Start one, bench one, cut one from the 3 running backs on the Senior Bowl watch list.
I think this is really easy, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're looking at stats from last year.
I am looking at stats. Okay. And of the 3, BJ Smith has pretty much, Raymond Calais is interesting because Raymond Calais only has 81 attempts and has 750 yards.
Which is pretty darn good.
That's almost 10 yards a carry.
Yeah.
It's incredible. 9.3. Trey Minter has, 183 attempts for 800 yards. It's only a 4-yard average right there. And then BJ Smith has 219 attempts. Sounds like a bell cow, doesn't it?
He's the bell cow.
For 1,100 yards.
Hashtag bell cow.
5.4 yards per carry. 13 touchdowns. He averaged 91 a game. Trey Minter averaged 66 a game. And Calais averaged 53 a game. So to me, it's really easy. I'm going to cut Trey Minter, which is, you're only averaging 4 yards a carry, and you're carrying the ball 183 times.
But is that his fault?
I mean, he only had 6 touchdowns, too, and you're averaging 66 yards a game, and you're on I don't know. The numbers just, they don't stack up well.
The numbers don't stack up. I'll give you
that. They don't stack up well against these other two. Bench, I'd probably do Calais coming off the bench, to be honest with you.
That's what Louisiana did last year.
That's what he does. I mean, literally 81 attempts rushing, and he's got 750 yards running. Like, that's pretty solid. He had a 92-yard run. I mean, 7 touchdowns, so he has more touchdowns on way less attempts, literally 100 less attempts, and he has 1 more touchdown than Trey Minter does. And then BJ Smith would be definitely the starter. I mean, he's proved it. 5.5 yards a gain. That's a full yard better than Trey Minter.
5 games straight of 100 yard.
He had that as well. He has 13 touchdowns on the year, which is second to he was tied among running backs, second in the league to Shy Wirtz, who had 16. I'd go BJ Smith for sure. He almost 91 yards a game, full 30 yards better than Trey Minter. So, yeah. So
start. I mean, stat-wise, it is pretty clear cut.
Yeah, sorry, I went to the stat.
No,
way.
But that's a pretty legitimate way of doing that.
Yeah.
My eye test, I think I did. I can't remember if I cut Trey Minter or not, but I think I might have started Raymond Calais. Mm-hmm. And then I benched BJ and then had Trey Minter cut. But it was, I thought it was at least interesting because it's not Trey Minter's fault.
No, his O-line was terrible.
It's pretty clear that that's the answer. That's the first one off the list there. Yeah. The other two can be mixed and matched, but that O-line is a powerful thing. You got BJ behind an O-line that's right now among the tops in the Sun Belt. Mm-hmm. Raymond Calais in a system that's a 3-headed running back system, you're going to produce with that. They're mm-hmm. run first. They're not option, but they run first. Mm-hmm. It was a fun exercise, and that's the whole point.
Yeah, so, I mean, the thing with Raymond Calais is that he's behind Trey Regis and Elijah Mitchell, and both those guys combined for 2,000 yards running.
And then he did what he did on top of that.
He had 700 yards rushing.
On top of that. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, I mean, and Elijah Mitchell got the ball 146 times. Trey Regis got it 207 times. That's 350-something carries between the two of them, and he still got 81 carries.
Yeah.
For 750 yards. So, I mean, it, I don't know. He's good. But that's that, I think that's why I'd get him is just, I mean, he's explosive. 9 yards a carry. That's insane, to be honest with you.
And I think that's a good reason to have him started. Yeah. To go through real quick, the rest of the Sun Belt watch list, App State had 3 offensive tackle, Victor Johnson, linebacker Akeem Davis-Gaither, and linebacker Jordan Fair. Appalachian State, Arkansas State had 2 players, both of them wide receivers. Can you guess who they were? Arkansas State, 2 wide receivers.
Kirk Merritt and Dahu Green.
There it is. Yep. Yeah. So, congratulations to the 13. You can see that full list on our Twitter account. Follow us. We're keeping up with all of that stuff. But, yeah. So, it was fun. I know it was pretty clear cut, but it was a fun exercise.
It was fun. It wasn't as tough as some of our other ones. But, you know what? These are fun to do. And, let us get, tweet us out what you guys would do.
Yeah. To add us.
Of the 3.
You know, if you want to hear your own voice on this podcast, you can call the hotline at 413-400-BOYS. That's 2697. 413-400-2697. And you can send us in any question, really, from the Sun Belt. Give us a start bench cut. Give us anything. So, but now, it's football season.
Oh.
Week 0 is upon us.
Oh, yes.
You know what that means.
Yeah, I'm sitting on my couch all day Saturday. For like 4 games, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, that's what that means for Saturday, but for right now.
Oh, for right now. Okay. Yeah, what does it mean?
Best bets.
That's right. It's best bets. You might remember this segment as just our picks from last year, but we kind of retooled it a little bit, given it a new name, and streamlined it a bit. Part of the overhaul between seasons. You know, just keeping it clean. But as far as week 0 is concerned, we have some football, and I'm so excited about it.
Oh, my God.
I know that me, back in January, was looking forward to this moment right now, mm-hmm. and I gotta say, it's been a while. Glad to have you back, buddy.
It's been a while.
Watch yourself. Watch yourself. All right, so week 0, we got exactly 4 games on the slate.
We do.
Only one of them actually involves a Group of 5 team.
Mm-hmm.
2 of them involve Division 1 FCS teams.
Yep.
And then one of them is a head-to-head showdown that we've previously mentioned on the show.
Yes.
Being near the House of Mouse. So.
Yeah, the House of Mouse. I love it.
Thank you. Used to love that show as a kid. So, yeah. Okay. You want to start off with the FCS schools?
Yeah, let's knock them out.
Do we want to go up the road, or do we want to go out to Colgate?
Let's go out to New York.
All right, let's start with Villanova at Colgate. We got 2 teams that I don't know anything about.
Well, I do.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Enlighten me.
Villanova was coming off of a 5-6 season in 2018.
Yikes.
Went 2-6 in the Colonial Athletic Association. Remember, we talked about them last week, too.
Right.
But, you know, it... Villanova, I mean, they had a nice run a couple years back in the FCS playoffs.
They did, yeah.
They're obviously a hell of a basketball school.
Absolutely.
Like, now we're sounding like idiots who don't know what we're talking about, but they are a hell of a basketball school. Football, a little bit different question.
But they did have a really good year. Didn't they win it all 1 year?
I don't know if they won it all, but I know they had a deep run because is North Dakota State FCS?
Yes.
Yeah, North Dakota State's kind of been running stuff for the last 7 years.
You're right.
But no, the biggest question for Villanova coming in, mm-hmm. this is who you have to look out for, is they got to find a starting quarterback. Lost their starting quarterback to a graduation. Can't pronounce his last name. It's Zach Bernardick or something. Bernardzik. So they're still trying to figure out. They got 3 guys that are trying to get that spot. 2 returners, and then they got a freshman that came in. But nobody.
And this is all after a 5-6 season.
Yes, yes. So they're trying to figure that one out.
Okay, well, how did Colgate do last year?
Colgate was a completely different story. They went 10-2.
Well,
6-0, made it to the quarterfinals. They're out of the Patriot League. Colgate also had the number one defense in the country last year.
Oh, wow.
9 points a game. That's all they gave up. And 237 points.
You know what that sounds like?
37 yards.
You know what that sounds like? App State and Alabama.
Kind of does. Yeah. 9.3 points per game and 237 yards a game. That is a legit defense, no matter who you're playing. So, and they return a lot coming back. So I'm thinking Colgate is still going to be as good as advertised as from last year. So, and they're at home, to be honest with you. So I'm going to lean Colgate on this one. Unfortunately, there is no betting on FCS schools. Like,
so you can't give us a line.
I can't find a line on it. I mean,
I'll tell you this much. The fans went and said Colgate as well. 71%.
Good pick.
Said Colgate. So, yeah. I mean, I guess I got to keep cleaning my teeth.
For sure. Use the Colgate, not the, what's the other brand?
Crest.
Crest. Yeah, there it is.
I'm a Crest guy, but whatever.
So, yeah, now let's come on back down.
Let's go up to the Gump.
To the Gump.
In Montgomery.
Hosting the Guardian Credit Union kickoff for the, I think, third year. And
second or third year, yeah.
The first couple years they've at least hosted a nationally ranked team. This is the first year that neither of the teams that they're hosting are ranked. It's between Samford University and Youngstown State, which both of them have been kind of in the news lately. Samford had Devlin Hodges, who I think he's still trying to get a shot at the NFL. I think he's with like the Bills or the Jets or somebody.
Well, they nearly took down Florida State last year.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody was pulling for them.
They were up on Florida State in the fourth quarter with like 5 minutes to go. And Devlin Hodges, though, I mean, the guy, like Walter Payton Award recipient, I mean, just literally he's got record. He broke, what's his name? Steve McNair's
oh, wow.
FCS record.
That's the name touchdowns.
Recognize. I mean, the kid's that good. And so, FCS career record. Passing yards.
Steve McNair's name.
No. He's good. Chris Hatcher is still the head coach. But they did get a South Florida transfer for a quarterback. So that should help them out there. They lose some wide receivers, but still get some wide receivers back. So Samford still should be good, but the problem is they're playing Youngstown State and their coach is a really famous guy.
We already mentioned it.
We know him as Bo Pelini.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people on Twitter that like to follow Fo Pelini, which might be the funniest Twitter account.
It is up there
of all time. But yeah, Bo Pelini, obviously the former Nebraska head football coach,
9-4,
9-4 every year and
playing Georgia in a bowl game.
For some reason, Nebraska fans were mad about that. We don't know. I mean, you guys are like living in the 80s still. But Bo Pelini's there. Bo Pelini is known for smash mouth football. Like, he is old school. I'm going to punch you in the mouth, and then I'm going to step on your throat. That is what he is like. Literally, that's how his offense is. He always has bulldog type offensive linemen he just power run type guy. They averaged more than 225 rushing yards last year, and so he likes to run the ball. So Youngstown State, they're called the Penguins, which is really like odd to me. I mean, Youngstown, I think it's Ohio.
It is.
Yeah, it's right on the border of Ohio and Pennsylvania.
So I don't know where the Penguins come in.
I mean, maybe Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh's kind of Pittsburgh's not close to Youngstown at all.
Not that I know of.
Really? Okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe like Penguins there. I don't know. It's weird. Penguins, Bulldogs. But Penguins have swept all four meetings between the two programs. So
really?
4-0 against them. Youngstown State is. Samford going to try and spread him out. Basically, Penguins got to slow him down. For me, I'm going to go because it's in Alabama. It's in Montgomery. It's an hour away from Birmingham. Samford's going to bring a lot of people. I imagine Youngstown State will try to bring people, but Samford, home field advantage, I'm going with it.
Absolutely.
I'm going with the Bulldogs.
It wouldn't surprise me if that's what gave it away the fan vote, too, because 83% of people went with Samford on that one. And I really can't stray away from the trend right now. Mm-hmm. Samford's a good ball club, and I haven't seen much from Youngstown State recently, as good as Bo Pelini is. All right, let's move up a level.
All
FBS.
Right. Okay.
Let's go out west.
We're going way out west.
Let's go way out west. Way Arizona out west. And Hawaii.
We're leaving the country.
Just well, about.
The mainland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a really, probably a night game.
Arizona and Hawaii. Who's the head coach of Arizona?
Oh, it's Rich Rod.
Rich Rodriguez is out there again? He's still there? Wow.
He was only named out there recently.
Really? Well, Rich Rod's been out there. Rich Rod's recruiting pretty well. He's got to deal with Herm Edwards, though, over at Arizona State. Shout out, Robert Baker. But Hawaii, they still have – I remember last year we had –
We have to correct this.
Okay.
It is not Rich Rodriguez.
Yeah, I thought he was out.
It is Bruton native Kevin Sumlin.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's
back
it up. Apologize to every Wildcat fan who even knows of our existence.
Yeah, at this time.
Anyway.
It'll happen.
So Kevin Sumlin against Hawaii.
Yeah, Hawaii. I remember last year we talked about Hawaii early in the year, and we talked about this guy, this quarterback that didn't really have a lot of experience. His name was Cole McDonald.
Right.
And then for the first 7 weeks, Cole McDonald pretty much burned everybody. And he looked amazing. He looked the part. But the problem is that Kevin Sumlin, second year with Arizona, I don't know if they still have that quarterback.
That's what I'm looking up.
Still there. But if Kevin Sumlin, yeah, it's in Hawaii. Yeah, they got to travel a little bit. But I just, Hawaii just fell apart at the back half of the year, to be honest with you. And they might come out firing. But according to Sportsbook, according to Odd Shark, Arizona's going to win. Arizona's going to cover. And the total will go under. So I'm going to take Arizona because they're going to win and cover. I think they cover the spread, which is at minus 11, by the way. So we're over two scores. Points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, fan vote, Arizona 86. Mm-hmm. Second of all, they still have Khalil Tate. Mark Meehan is a Wildcat fan as
well. Oh, wow. Yeah, they still have Khalil Tate. How long has that guy been there?
He's a senior.
My Lord. Yeah, if they got Khalil Tate, I'm taking Arizona for sure.
All right, and now let's move out to the other paradise in America, I guess, Orlando. Mm-hmm. Everybody chuckle. So Florida and Miami are playing each other in a pretty dope rivalry game. I like having it week zero in a neutral site, Florida and Miami. And what was it? I don't remember the last time those two teams played.
2013. Excuse me, sorry.
Bad was the score?
I think I'm trying to figure out who won that game, but no, it's been about 6 years. So obviously Mark Richt was the coach at one point before Manny Diaz. Manny Diaz used to work at ESPN, by the way, which it's insane that, you know. Miami won the last game in 2013. I'm trying to find the score here.
But we know if you're in the Sun Belt footprint, you're aware of Florida and Miami.
Yeah.
You know the story with Florida. They've got
Mark Richt wasn't even there. It was Al Golden.
I was about to say.
That's how long ago it was. Al Golden, Miami won 21-16, and Will Muschamp was the head coach of Florida. So
yeah.
I think it's been Will. I think each program is now two coaches have come through there because it was McElwain.
And now it's Dan Mullen.
And now it's Dan Mullen before – after Golden, it was Mark Richt, and now it's
Manny Diaz.
Manny Diaz. So, yeah, they both have tried to figure out their coaching. But amazingly, this series, 29-26. That's the series split.
I like that.
I mean, that's really good. Miami leads 29-26. They played a lot throughout the 70s. I mean, every year from 70 to basically 77, they played every year. And then there's a long lapse between 87 and 2002. So there's a good 15 year. This isn't the longest drought that they've seen. So then they played from 2001 to 2005. And then they didn't play for another 3 years. And then they played in 2013. So there's like these gaps now of like 5 years between the two teams. They just re-upped for another two for head-to-head, 1-1 deal. I think that's going to be like 2022 or 2023, 2023 and 2024. I sound like Tweety Bird. But this Saturday, Florida looks really good this year. They got a pretty stout quarterback coming back what's his name? Blanking on it right now. Number 13. Yep.
Felipe Franks.
Felipe Franks.
Yep.
Yeah. Ballpark Franks. No, he just looks really good. I think he's matured a lot. They've got LaMichael Pirine. Yeah, Blount native from Blount High School alum from
Mobile Pritchard,
same thing.
Yep.
So he's going to be a solid running back for them. Their defense is really good. They just lost a D end, but it's Florida. They've got athletes everywhere. Miami's the same way. Problem is Miami is starting a redshirt freshman at quarterback who had really no game experience. They obviously had the big deal with him and Tate Martell and another guy. And then their defense, everybody wants to put them back as being the U, like from the 80s and all that. And I'm sorry, they're just not going to be a defense like the U part one, and obviously never going to be a defense like the U part two, because you don't have Ed Reed and Ray Lewis on your defense right now.
Absolutely.
So I think Florida kind of just overmatching them. The score prediction is 21-19. That's the score prediction. So it's obviously the odd sharks, obviously betting lines. Florida's favored by a touchdown, which seems about right, to be honest with you. Over under 47, so low scoring game, 23-20 type deal. I'm going to go with Florida, to be honest with you. I think Felipe Franks, I think the running game, I think Tony.
Kadarius Tony,
who's
another
also
Mobile native.
Mobile native. I think he went to Blount as well.
He went to Blount. I think LaMichael went somewhere else.
Either way, I just think that Florida, they're coming in like top 10 in the country. Miami's not ranked. I just think too much is on Florida's side, and I'm going to go with Florida for sure in this first week over Miami.
LaMichael went to Theodore.
Theodore. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
So yeah, no, I'm going to go with Florida.
Fan vote. Overwhelmingly with you, Florida and 89. I got to pick something different.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Miami on this one. Yeah, right?
Somebody's going to go perfect.
Even if we were going straight, if we were going points, I would take Miami because the line's only 7. I think it's going to be a close, hard-fought game defensively because Miami's got a stout defense as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's enough to put them in this game for that first game, first jitters. And let's be honest, neither of them are in a home field advantage. Neither of them are going to get the...
No, it'll be pretty split
exactly
between the two.
So
I think Miami covers, too. I just don't think they win. And then I think it stays under the total as well.
I think it's good enough that they could win. So
they could. I still think Florida. I think Felipe Franks is kind of the difference. He's kind of a dark horse Heisman Trophy candidate right now that I think late in the year, if he has... I think it's easy for him to have a good start to the year, but I think late in the year will tell if he can really hang in there. That's his big deal. So, that's our best bet segment. We got 4 games this week. Next week we're gonna have a ton of
we'll start
group of 5.
From the beginning.
It's gonna be great.
All over again.
Finally can get to some real G5 type action going on. So
chomping at the bit.
Yep.
Well. We got some stuff we got to clean up before we go, though. You got a rant, don't you?
I do have a rant.
You have a rant scheduled for right about now.
Final word.
So, yeah, in today's final word, it's been widely talked about. We are not breaking any news to anybody here, but it's just something that it's finally come to, I think, a lot of Sun Belt teams' doorsteps. Some good, some bad. This week... Georgia Southern had some great news. They got J.D. King, transfer from Oklahoma State. He was coming home. I mean, he's from Georgia. So this is the kind of thing, what everybody's kind of judging the transfer rule on, if they get cleared for immediate, is basically the NCAA came out and said, if you're going to go home, if that's going to be your reason, you got to go to a school that's within 100 miles of your hometown. So for some kids, that really leaves them out to dry. And we're kind of finding out that most of the time NCAA is abiding by that rule. But there's been a couple of instances, specifically in the Tate Martell case in Miami, and, of course, he didn't even get number one quarterback position there. He's from Las Vegas, Nevada. Like, he's not from – he's from the completely different side of the country and somehow came from Ohio State, high profile, to another high-profile school and was just, yep, he's fine. Another high-profile guy, Justin Fields, out of Georgia. I mean, he was one of the top prospects in the country. Leaves Georgia. He had some things that he had claimed. I'm not going to get into them, but he somehow gets immediate eligibility, and he's going to be the starting quarterback for Ohio State. Then you have the case of Luke Ford, who is probably the most interesting case this year, and he is a tight end. He's from the state of Illinois. He was one of the top tight ends in the country coming out of high school, committed to Georgia, went there for a year. He basically cited that his grandparents needed help to be taken care of. So he goes back home to Illinois, transfers to University of Illinois, and basically it. Okay, so he's actually from Carterville, Illinois, which is about 190 miles south of Champaign, and is one of the closest major footballs in his hometown. So they said no to him. So it's like there's just not enough
consistency.
And yeah, these are high profile guys. But then when you go to schools like Troy, that you have three guys, Charles Strong, you have the kid from Auburn, and then you have this latest transfer in Jaden McDonald from Iowa, that were so far Troy's 0-2. And Charles Strong is kind of questionable. He's from Florida, but the kid from Auburn, he's not really from this country. But Jaden McDonald, that's gonna be kind of the teller. If Jaden McDonald gets cleared immediately, I'll be shocked, to be honest with you. If he doesn't, because he's just outside of the 100-mile range. He's from Sewanee, Georgia. I don't know. It's just me ranting, to be honest with you. I think it's BS. I think it's unfair that, and this is also another argument that's widely been pushed around, is that coaches can go from one team to the other without having to sit out, and they're paid millions of dollars to do it. These kids, they're trying to find an opportunity, a better opportunity, to get themselves in the NFL so they can be making millions of dollars. And if the real reasoning is you got to go home, take care of your family from a school that you wanted to go to, I mean, it's not like they're just picking a school like that. I mean, they're being recruited for years to go to a school like Georgia, which is way far home, way away from home. So just stuff like that. It's not going to get solved overnight, but it's just another problem with the NCAA. So, I don't know. We'll see how it plays out here for the next couple of weeks. Obviously, we only have like a week, so we should be hearing on a lot of the waiver requests.
We'll bring you all of those latest updates and the waiver requests. We'll bring you the hottest takes and everything. You can find us on Twitter at the OG Bench Boys. We're here on Anchor. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. Go ahead and smash that subscribe button while you're thinking about it. That like button, any button that's on there. Just push all the buttons. Push all of our buttons. Give us a call on the hotline, 413-400-BOYS-2697. I'm pretty much running out of things to say at this point, but I absolutely agree with you, Colin. It's just so varied and so inconsistent, the best way to put it, with these transfer portals, especially with the big names. Like, it just feels like a case of the haves and the have-nots, even though there's... Whatever. We're here to cover the small guys. That's why we're the Bench Boys. You got anything else for us?
I got nothing. High school football's back. I'm pretty happy about that. So
high school, college.
We get football. Literally, I got football tonight. So I'm like,
you're over the moon.
I'm content.
Right, hey, now. Started watching highlights now.
Oh,
I'm in.
Hey, you fell off the wagon.
I fell off the wagon.
There you go.
So
come on back.